site, just a few matters, maybe just to indicate that I think in terms of the performance of the South African Police Service during this last 3 months, the committee observed some positive developments. I think on the one hand, we had the excellent management of the peace muster protest, where I think they did excellent work in very difficult circumstances, and did very well. Also, the festival period during December, January, I think the high visibility, the deployment was excellent, and that is what we want from the portfolio committee side. I think also the feedback that the members received, and also in the constituencies, was that it was very good. Especially I also saw in the Western Cape, I know General Cruiser was acting, but the visibility was very good, holiday spots, and I think that's what we want, back to basics. The community must see the police, there must be patrols, and that's excellent. So from the portfolio committee side, that's a very good start. Maybe also from the portfolio committee side, we want to welcome the commitment last week from the Honourable Minister of Police regarding his priorities of 2016, a very commitment to the implementation of the NDP, also his plans in terms of the legislative framework and the policy and the legislative review of SAPS. Of course, we want to also, we're also happy with the appointment of the panel of experts. We think that process, you know, should be given the highest priority. I think that is quite vital in terms of reforming public order policing, but also to instill confidence, and we think the interim steps that we made in the public order policing domain, we are in favor of that. We also have the opportunity to have the minister and the acting national commissioner here, and we also maybe want to hear more this morning on the recent developments of restructuring and also the new appointments. The committee also wants some detail on that, that we can just know what's happening in terms of that environment. So, just some comments from my side. I will now give the opportunity to the Honourable Minister if you want to come in. I just want to say the Minister is a regular participant in this committee, and we don't have to issue three titles to invite him.
My apologies, I'm so uneducated, it's not funny. I'm pressing somewhere else, and the button that I'm pressing is for disengaging the mic, and yet all I intended to do was to actually activate it. Firstly, apologies to the Chairperson and honorable members for arriving late. I went to a different venue altogether, so I was misled by people in my office. And I think I'm going to take serious steps against them for doing so. So my apologies to the chair for that. And I do wish to take this opportunity to wish honorable members a happy 2016, a fruitful one for that matter. And I think we are looking forward to working with ourselves in such a manner that all we need to do is to continue to intensify and consolidate our efforts at improving our work environment, and but largely impacting on the overall mandate that we all carry to make South Africa safe for each and every one of us. I think as the Honourable Chair has cited this parliament, you know, we just emerged out of a festive season, and we do think that there are particular lessons that we have got to look on for the future. The excellent feedback about the question of, you know, the manner in which it deployed, and of course the question of visibility and so forth, wherever we went, we came across this quite a lot of positive comments about our work. But also there were interesting developments. You know, I think the chair is referring to the situation in Western Cape, which was excellently sort of contained to an example. But the appreciation, perhaps we have not fully registered it and so on, but let's take for an example that people in the, I'm not sure that the southern or northern suburbs, Musebeck area or the classified sort of areas, for an example, being the Western Cape, were very appreciative of seeing our members on horseback and patrolling, you know, the streets regularly and so on. And in fact, they, some of them went to an ascendancy. They had not seen something like that in a very, very, very long time. In Lavendale, we had the community members who voluntarily just decided to support the work of the policemen by cooking for them, you know, to keep them motivated and so, you know, that in itself it's quite a positive development. Now, my suspicion, the Honourable Chair, is that it is likely that there are a number of these particular community engagements that must have taken place in appreciation of the work of the police, and when the members were deployed, they were wherever they were, and so on. So it's exactly just that point. Now the presentation that's going to be run before the portfolio committee today is also another interesting development, because all what it points out to is that the measures that we've begun to embark on of making specific sort of interventions, for an example, are beginning to yield results. Now, the honourable members will remember that, for an example, one of the failing sort of the functions within the police was the question of the detectives and so on, and we spoke to the issue of the turnaround, we spoke to the issue of personnel management interventions and so on. Now, it's interesting to see a developing trend, which essentially we all we need to do is to consolidate. I mean, look at what the first month was like, you know, and of course improvements registering in the second month, the third month actually began to, you know, to suggest that the situation indeed is taking off in the positive sort of direction, and so it goes. So with us having said so, all will require that on an ongoing basis we're going to monitor these particular trends and look at ways and means of how we improve on an ongoing basis. But as the Chair had said, I think from where we are and the steps that have been taken and how they have developed thus far, there is absolutely no turning back. We just have got to ensure that we certainly consolidate. Lastly, Chair, I would like to also just apologize that I'm going to be here for about an hour and then disappear after an hour or so. And of course, I do wish you a very fruitful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for those comments. We will then first give an opportunity for the honourable members to introduce themselves. Then we will give an opportunity for the Acting National Commissioner to introduce his team that's working. And then we will start with the first presentation on the national management interventions.
Goedemorgen, dames en heren. Eerst ga ik het vernieuwen, ja. Mijn naam is Angie Moeliwa, die zal het van hier commenteren. Dank u.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pindile Mona, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Ramakala, a member of this committee.
Good morning. I'm Jerome Mage, a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Tongwanani Zatilem Bele, member of committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members. General Pastor.
Good morning, Minister, honorable Chair, and honorable members. It's an honor for us to be with you, and compliments for the new season. Hoping that 2016 is going to be a better year than 2015. Introduce who that is accompanying me, and I'll just ask that as I do so, they rise so that the honourable members could take note of who they are. First, the National Head of the Directorate of Priority Crime Investigation, Lieutenant General Gameza. Lieutenant General Sitole, the Deputy National Commissioner of Policing, Lieutenant General Ngwenya, the Deputy National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Jefta, the Regional Commissioner Inspectorate, Major General Mosana, from Division Visible Policing, Major General Ramadzwili, Detective Sishish, is currently representing General Mulu, who is already in SARPCO, in Mozambique for SARPCO engagements. Major General Nkomo, also from the Detective Services Environment. Major General Chipu, component in National Operation Coordination within the ORS Environment. Major General Sikukune, component head crime register. Brigadier Kumalo, Session 8 Operations Division of Operational Response Services. Brigadier Tian Matonzi, Section 8 Enterprise Project Management within the Strategic Management Environment. Brigadier Ravi, Section 8 Organizational Design, Frontline Services and GIS. Brigadier Clayans, Lindy, Section 8 Project Management and Strategic Planning. Colonel Jeremy Dova, Project Management. Colonel Stain, and by the way, you will see that has got an additional star. So he was effective from the 1st of January, appointed to the position as a full colonel. I deliberately, the last one there, Brigadier Selepe, who is from the communications office. I deliberately did not mention the following two. First, Lieutenant General Cruiser, I know he finds himself in a very confused position, whether he's a provincial commissioner or a divisional commissioner. General Cruiser did excellent work in the Western Cape, and we are too grateful for him having volunteered to steer the ship over the first decision. His term will end tomorrow, or at least on the 31st, that is Sunday. And I can announce here that from the 1st of February, he is the Deputy National Commissioner. He will take responsibility. I will talk to his deployment. I think he deserves it. And then there is some appointments that I can talk to. The first one, the Additional Commissioner of Visible Policing. Honorable members will recall that the post has been vacant for too long. We are grateful for the work that General Musala did there as an acting Additional Commissioner, but we have since filled the post. The newly appointed Additional Commissioner of Visible Policing is here, Lieutenant General Masia. Chair, it is the first time in the history of the service that an African female will be heading Visible Policing in this organization. At the same time, I can announce here the appointment of Major General Nkomo as the new Divisional Commissioner, Detective Services. She will take that post also the 1st of February going forward. We made three appointments. The incumbents are not here. The first one for the Northwest Province, Lieutenant General Vaile Modonyane. She is the newly appointed Provincial Commissioner of the Northwest Province. She hails from the Free State Province, but born and bred, and she started a career in the police within the Northwest Province, so she's literally going back home, taking over command and control there. The second one, we have appointed Lieutenant General Juna as the Provincial Commissioner of the Western Cape. General Juna comes from the KwaZulu-Natal Province. He will also take over the province the 1st of February. General Cruiser has already engaged him, and he will accordingly do that what we expect from him in the police camp the 1st of February. The last one, we have also appointed Lieutenant General Zuma to the position of a Divisional Commissioner, but he will immediately be redeployed from that position to a province, which we will announce soon. those are the appointments, and this is one that I am forgetting.
Maybe I'll also give the members an opportunity, maybe from the portfolio committee side. I think it's very good that those vacancies have been filled, especially one of policing, very important. It's been vacant for a very long time, so we welcome that. I think we also welcome the appointment of the new head of detectives. It's also two areas where we need to turn around. So we wish the two ladies very well. They make history. I think it's the first time that those positions are held by ladies in the South African Police Service. I think it also indicates the commitment to transformation. But I think in the coming months, from the portfolio committee side, of course, detective services, visible policing, we're going to focus a lot on that. So we need really a change around. I think we also welcome the appointment of new provincial commissioners and the divisional commissioner. We need new blood, but we also need experienced police persons who know something about policing in those positions. That's critical for the community, because in a modern environment, you must be experienced and you must know your trade craft. So we welcome that. I also give an opportunity to the members of the committee if there's any comments on their side regarding the appointments. On Mwalabatsi, on Mbele.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I have to tell you, I'm very excited about the appointments, especially the two of the three men, because I'm a woman, of course. And to say we expect a lot from you. You know, women are capable people, and we are definitely not going to let us out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to keep it brief, just to echo your sentiments that the staff restructuring should see an improvement in the performance of senior management's better outcomes, more effectiveness, because we do know that the SAPS has a history of senior management restructurings that can turn out to be less than savory. Let's hope that it's the beginnings and parts of steps forward and not just rearranging decks, deck chairs on the Titanic.
Any other member who wants to comment? Honorable Sir, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you, Jason. I think I have to ask myself to the traffic
contractor. I thought you spoke about appointments. I wanted to congratulate the acting commissioner. I thought he was now the permanent commissioner because I congratulated him last year already. Thank you.
Just when you left out, I also want to also say General Kruse, congratulations. I think he's a very experienced person, more than 20 years service as a divisional commissioner, and we welcome his appointment at the DNC level. Well done. Right, we will then continue with the
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just in brief, before going into the presentation on the restructuring issue. Chair, you recall that in our sitting we presented to you a structure that was under consideration. Following our presentation, we continued our internal engagements to the point where we were ready to present it before Council, SSBC. Where both SAPU and POP group are sitting. We accordingly did that. The structure was presented. Then, following our first presentation, requested for an opportunity to engage with the principals and members. A week later, council convened and the engagement continued. But unfortunately, the one party raised other issues other than the structure itself. The issues that were raised were more in relation to the transfers and reemployment that had already been implemented, and the argument was that we are already implementing the structure which was in consultation, which was not the case, because with those movements we for example had redeployed General Mukunazi to head the Division Human Resource Development. He's currently the Divisional Commissioner there. And that post was in existence. It is not a new post. We also had moved General Zulu from crime intelligence into a post to head research. It is also a post that existed on a structure that was initiated and approved by General Pierre. If you recall, that was the post where General Levia was to be placed in. General Levia was a lieutenant general, and we are placing a lieutenant general into a position that was determined to be that of a lieutenant general. So it's not a new post. So those were, amongst others, the issues that were raised to say, before we can engage fair, you need to reverse the appointments. We felt that that was unfair because those appointments were not new and consultation had taken place with the individuals involved. We then proceeded following with further engagements to the point where we then have the new structure approved. We were taken to court by Pokru and three others. The three others are senior managers of the subs. But the matter was presented before the court. First, they went to a wrong court and they ultimately find their way to a labor court. The case was dismissed both on the basis that it is not agent, but also on the merits thereof. So where we are, Jen, we are now implementing the structure, the new structure, because we believe that the structure is supporting our strategy. And if you look at the approach that we have adopted over the festive season, it is simply making business sense with the impact that it is making. I just thought that I need to cover that part. In as far as the structure is concerned, we are committed to continue to engage with our social partners. They remain a critical social partner, and we cannot afford to leave them outside. Those engagements will materialize and will definitely find a point of convergence.
Thank you for that explanation. I think we welcome the assurance that the proper procedures were followed in that process. I think the committee last year had our support for the new structure as long as it doesn't bring top heavy and extra costs. Our approach is contribute to effective policing, back to basics, of course we will support. And I think the appointments you've mentioned this morning is in a question that you are serious of making that work. So we will monitor to come along. And I think we from the portfolio committee side also want to call on all social partners and interest groups to work constructively to ensure that the implementation is a success. If there's hassles, of course there must be discussions, bilaterals and negotiations, but it's important that there is collective way forward in ensuring that the structure is a success. At the National Commission, we can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We will this morning do two presentations. The first one will focus on the national management interventions, primarily the program that we were going to embark upon of turning around the detective services. And the second presentation will be talking to the festive season, that which we were sharing last week with the nation in as far as what we have achieved. So this is briefly what will be found in the presentation. The copies of the presentation are circulated. I'm not going to go through each element. In terms of the background and purpose, we held a strategic planning session focused on both operational and support environment to deal with issues of non-delivery and what is it that we require to do to advance service delivery in this financial year and going forward. We look at the critical areas of underperformance and also the management intervention related issues. In visible policing, we look at the issues related to the reported crime, where there is specific focus on serious crime, which is an area where we will not have performed. Crimes against women and children, recovery of stolen lost state-owned firearms, recovery of stolen robbed vehicles, volume of liquor confiscated as a result of police action and national crime awareness campaigns. Those are the areas where performance in this financial year then looked at the first two quarters was not where supposed to be, and also backwards the previous financial year. In program three, focusing on detective services, we looked at the detection rate with the various crime times. Detection rate, salary rate. We also looked at national management intervention said to ourselves that we needed to turn around areas of underperformance, as the target said in the 2015-16 annual performance plan of the department to ensure sustainability going forward. Now, this just in brief, the interim structure that they operated, and here I'm very grateful for the role that Honorable Lungwenya plays in national management intervention. She led the teams to the provinces. They continue to be doing work there. In that environment, supported by General Jafta, General Munu, and we recently redeployed General Mutiva from the post of Provincial Commissioner Gauteng to come into the management intervention environment with his experience and his visible policing education background to beef up his capacity, because it has got more to do with what is happening on station level. The focus is not only in the detective environment, but also the station broadly to look at our performance. Various members were drawn into this particular area, and they've done an excellent job. Geographical and regional distribution of intervention stations. Because of the time frame, we could not do all stations. We had to identify specific stations on a criteria that was determined, and then per province, we listed a number of stations that would have contributed to the underperformance, or stations where there is an issue. And in the Eastern Cape, there is one station. The bulk of the stations, as you know, there are in Gauteng, 28 of those stations. KwaZulu-Natal has got 11, and Western Cape, 15 stations. In total, 63 stations became the focus of the national management intervention thus far. There we made suitable the selection criteria in terms of the top 40 stations. We looked at crime volume and underperformance on detective indicators, the top 30 crime reported, the high volume, and then any other issues that relate to service delivery. This is simply the distribution. There in the previous slide, we've seen the numbers. Here, as per the map, where are they? This one looks at the concentration of those stations in terms of management intervention. You will simply see that Gauteng is responsible for the largest number of them. So the dots represent the particular stations of focus. This one, this is Northwest, Gauteng Northwest and Mpumalanga, also the stations, just to make the visible how close they are to each other, because it is very critical from a crime management perspective that you look at the level of concentration of those. This is KwaZulu-Natal police stations, and then in the next one is Western Cape. You'll see stations there, Brackenfell, Stellenbosch, Michels Plain, and so on. That detail is in the presentation. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go through it. This is a breakdown on Limpopo. In this slide, you see the stations in terms of ranking from number one there up to number 30. These are your top 40 stations. It continues. Then here you can see your top 30 stations in terms of prioritization. Now, what is it that recovery plans were targeting? The honourable members will recall we presented a recovery plan on detective services. We also had a recovery plan on the visible policing environment. The third recovery plan that we had developed was focused in the HR environment, particularly around service terminations. There was work done now looking at the plan specifically targeting stock theft crime-related crime, because we realize that there is serious underperformance in that regard. If you look at what the national management interventions focus on, top underperforming station 63, this was not the only focus. We also had the provincial intervention teams. We focused on additional stations, the 212 stations. So the first 63 is where the national management intervention team would defend. The others, the people in the provinces, also had to focus on those teams. Station commissioners, visible policing, and detective commanders ensure implementation of the recovery plan. In total then, you will know that there are 865 stations of the 1,140 stations where work is being done. As the minister said, this is to be sustained. It is not only a once-off thing that we are doing. In terms of feedback, we also, as part of our rollout, making people understand the back-to-basics approach, what is entailed in the recovery plans, we then engaged management of all the provinces. We went to all the provinces. The total at the bottom are the number of commanders that were reached. So we will convene a session for the day and engage management from 10 that morning to somewhere 8 o'clock on various numbers, number of issues. So in the Western Cape, we'll discover 740 commanders. This will include the commanders at provincial level, at cluster, station, and unit level. So everyone who is in a command position would have been convinced in this one session to bring home the message of what is it that we want to see changing in the organization. Because for us, it's making sure that people understand their mandate. People understand that we are not doing communities any favor. People understand that we have an obligation to render services and that we should do everything in our power to make sure that we serve the people of this country. So those are the numbers in terms of the provinces. You will see the highest number we have covered in a province is Gauteng, which was our very first session. The last one we did was Mpumalanga, and we believe that those engagements went a long way in making people understand and appreciate their role in policy. From time to time you hear people that say, for a change, we are now in the right direction. Some say, we have already given up, we are about to leave, but we are not going to leave because now we know what is it that is expected from us. So we believe that the interventions will have made some impact. In terms of areas of intervention, focus on the detective services and pushing back to basics approach, performance and accountability, including consequence management. Focus on the wanted person, tracing and arresting of the wanted person. Just to give an example, when the team went to KwaZulu-Natal and they were doing the intervention at the station, I think it's Devon Central, where after producing all the dockets, they then launched an operation to chase all those suspects who were not followed up by the station. And I think that's one evening, 61 people were arrested, which we think that it is the right thing to do, because people do not go to the police station just to open the cases for the sake of insurance. They open these cases with the understanding that the police are going to be doing thorough investigation and bring the perpetrators to book. And I think this approach goes a long way in reassuring our people that the police are there to do their work. We also looked at issues of DNA, compliance and utilization of forensic leads, because we can't have all these instruments that are not being effectively utilized. Crime scene management is an area that we are addressing seriously. We are calling on everyone, including the public, the media, management themselves, to respect a crime scene. Because if we get it wrong at a crime scene, that crime scene would have been compromised. It is compromising the case that is being processed in the court. So, including the media, it cannot be that when it's a crime scene, the first people that come there are the media taking pictures, trembling over that crime scene. We want to ensure that the crime scenes are being respected, because valuable evidence is lying there. At times, that crime scene had only two people, the victim and the perpetrator. So if you destroy the evidence of that crime scene. You lessen the chances of the culprit being brought to book. We also look at the analysis of outstanding case dockets and undetected, as well as withdrawn cases. Just in brief, element of the turnaround strategy in terms of the detectives, we focused on improve and measure the management of case dockets by focusing on the correct application of basic principles of investigation of crime and case docket management, such as thorough investigation inspections of case dockets and the management of the performance and productivity of investigating officers. It's very critical for us that commanders do what they are supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Conduct audits of crime administration system versus case dockets to continuously update and capture actual performance, thereby avoiding an annual spike in performance information. Analyze all outstanding dockets, focusing on long outstanding serious crime to ensure that cases are properly investigated. Improve case docket allocation methodology to ensure the matching of investigation complexity with detective experience or expertise. Improve the integrity of wanted suspects database and trace and arrest confirmed wanted suspects. Analyze case docket flows as undetected and withdrawn to ensure that all cases have been properly investigated. And determine timelines for investigating categories of crime to introduce standard resolution rates per crime type, thereby enhancing the performance management of the detectives. These are the issues that we'll have checked in the plan. Further details of what the plan focus on is there. I'm not necessarily going to go through all because we have presented the recovery plan with what it's focusing on in the last session with the honorable members. In terms of visible policing, because we did not only want to focus on the detectives, we believe that more emphasis must be placed on visible policing. Proactive policing is less expensive than reactive policing. So we need to be out there, be visible, be in the communities, take away the opportunity to commit crime, engage our communities, become very accessible, continuously giving feedback to our communities. Here we look at some elements, partnership policing, addressing the desire, motives to commit crime through an integrated approach. We accept that policing alone will not do it. We need all other role players to play a part here. Enforcing command and control at all levels, crime prevention, including crime awareness campaigns, enhancing police visibility in hotspot areas, intelligence-based operations targeting drugs, liquor, wanted suspects, firearms and gangs, and police response to crime reports from the community. Very critical. And I think with the launch yesterday of the communication system in the West, in the Eastern Cape, we believe that we are gaining momentum to where we want to be as an organization. Stations in where interventions were conducted, the numbers are there. As you note, the national interventions completed 18 and provincial interventions completed 55, which is the total stations completed 73. It is work in progress, but we are already seeing the results of the work that we are doing in all environments. When we do the management intervention, when the teams led by General Mwenya get to a station, what is it that they are doing? First, briefing sessions with cluster and station management, where we look at the intervention and purpose as well as methods, conducting parades with detectives and visible policing members, including chiefs, taking amongst others appointment certificate. Do people have the appointment certificate, the correct one? Because when you are effecting an arrest, you cannot just say, I am General Patani. You need to say, this is who I am, so that the person knows that it is a law enforcement officer who is doing this. We are looking at pocketbooks. I don't have to say too much about the pocketbooks. Honorable members, during your visits to the stations, you will have noted that there is an issue here. So it is being addressed, including the issue of IRS driver's licenses. Are the people in possession of valid driver's licenses? Competency certificates in terms of firearms, do they have them? So all those things have been checked. Thorough camp inspection to identify and resolve infrastructure and resource allocation deficiency, neatness and cleanliness of stations, redeployment of resources, which includes vehicles, facilitated before the intervention needs. You get to a station and you find the station not having a commander of objectives. But the person was appointed, so she is not being utilized at that particular station. So what the management intervention does is to recall that person to be used in the post that he or she was appointed to, so that we don't have these unnecessary shortages of personnel. If they suppose they can elsewhere, we need to account and maybe kickstart the process to make sure that that post is being filled. Individual working teams, national, provincial cluster, and station collaboratively address recovery plans, joint non-compliance and performance problem identification and correction, emphasizing on the back to basics. And lastly, the human physical resources, duty arrangements, members transfer back to stations of their own. So on average, the management intervention team at that particular station takes 5 days. As we said, it is no more the approach of going to find out what is wrong at this station, come back, compile a report, and then say, we found the following wrong. They go, what is wrong, it needs to be corrected, and they come back. That has to be monitored to make sure that it is being sustained. These are the arrests that were made only with the intervention teams being the national intervention teams. There is a distribution, 166 people have been arrested solely because of the work of the management intervention. Rustenburg, 85. You will know Pretoria Central, 35. Sandton, 46. Roodepoort, 46. There is 91 in Olivon of Old Boys. So if the national management intervention did not go to those stations, these people will still be roaming the streets of our country. So we believe that it is achieving the goal that we wanted to see being achieved. Honorable members, we recall that we presented to you a docket age analysis where we took a docket and said, how old are these dockets? Now, the blue will represent the picture that we have presented to the honorable members when we appeared here. And then that the red represents the progress that we are making, including the green. So the blue is the picture as in November. What is the December picture, the red, and where did we get by January? Now you'll know in all areas there is serious movement in respect of these cases. Had a national management intervention not being initiated within the Back to Basics, we will be sitting with these cases increasing. But there is commendable progress that is made around these areas. This is just looking at what is the impact on the figure that I presented earlier, the success. You'll note just in KwaZulu-Natal, with this approach, we managed to decrease those long outstanding cases by 43.2%. And in the, what is it, Gauteng, 21%, 22% in the Free State, and it ranges from one province to the other, on average, 20.3%. In November, we had 603,178 cases that were long outstanding. December, 517,489. And January 480,753. We believe we are on track. We believe that this is where to be continued within the management intervention environment. But it must not only be a business of management intervention. We want to build capacity to be able to sustain this within the back to basics approach that we are advancing. Forensic investigative leads. Also, the year will make visible outstanding DNA leads person, which is known offender, on DNA database linked to different cases. The blue is what was outstanding. Those people that are known, in other words, we have processed the evidence and the exhibits in the laboratory. We know that that crime was committed by so and so. So that is being communicated. But we noted that not much is being done around it. So if you look in 2013, you will have had their first quarter, the known offenders, 591. That number increased to 786, but because of the interventions, it came down to 245. So some of those arrests that we're talking of will be some of these people, because on the docket you will have a statement which is saying the person that committed this particular crime is so and so. So all what we need to do is to track those people. That is the quarter two performance, quarter three performance. That's what will be made visible. You see the posters are in the paper. The next slide is the vehicle samples taken at the end of quarters 1, 2, 3. Now you note the orange is quarter 1. You will see that the numbers were very low. Quarter 2, slight increase. When we went with the intervention, we said to people, why are you not implementing the act? Because everyone that is being arrested having committed a Schedule 8 offense, we are supposed to be taking a buccal sample from him. That feature is quickly changing. This is a breakdown province in terms of what has the movement be. You know that in the third quarter, every province has increased drastically. This is just a picture which shows you a cumulative. That's now a summary of all. There is a breakdown in terms of the provinces. Here, we collate them. Quarter one, only 952 samples would have been taken. Quarter two, 7,145, and that sharp increase to 19,746 in the third quarter. So, Honorable Chair, we believe that the interventions are doing what they are supposed to be doing, taking the police back to basics, making sure that which they are supposed to be doing is being done. Impact of on key performance areas, this is in respect of visible policing, variance in serious crime as far as December is concerned. Now you will see the darker color, the dark which is more pure orange, shows you the areas where crime, serious crime, will have increased. That is Northwest, 1.47%, Limpopo, 8.6%, 0.98% in Mpumalanga, 0.28% in KwaZulu-Natal, and 0.01% in Gauteng. All our provinces, Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and the Free State, will have realized a decrease. Why this? We implemented in October the first decision plan. So there are areas where we say we will have dealt a crime, a blow. So this one is in respect of serious crime, and this will show you the performance of the detectives. Honorable members will recall on that day, the 14th of October, when the decision was taken to suspend the National Commissioner and I was appointed acting, we were presenting our performance in respect of Program 3. And you will recall that Program 3 was the worst performing program of all the five programs. We then made a commitment that one thing that has to change is performance in that particular area. I know that I had 6 months. It was every 6 months we were going to change the entire police. Of course, we went a long way in making sure that we redirect policing into a direction. But this specifically talks to the performance of the detectives, which, in our view, presents a very commendable picture. If you look at quarter one, that's the performance that was recorded. The red represents the areas where the detectives will not have achieved. And you know that they have only achieved in how many, 5 areas. That is where that performance would have been. So that performance reflects they achieved in quarter one only 5 of the 15 indicators, which represents 33%. In the second quarter, only 6 of the 15, that is 40% achievement overall. Then came with a recovery plan together with the minister. We said this will have to change, and indeed a positive picture is being presented here, which shows overall performance now 80%. I think we have achieved 12 of the 15 indicators in the third quarter of the financial year. So if there is doubt whether the back to basics approach is working, whether the recovery plans are doing it, there is evidence. We just have to take the police to go the basic things that they are supposed to be doing to make them focus and focus on policing and make sure that we solve the case. This is the overall picture. Now, I go in this light a breakdown of the quarter's performance. You will know this is quarter one. You can see the picture is predominantly red. Your highest performer in this picture would have been KwaZulu-Natal, who had achieved 8 of the 15 indicators. That is 53%. I go to the next one, that is quarter two. Again, here, the highest performer is Mpumalanga, who will have achieved 8 of the 15 indicators. The next slide is quarter three. Now, you can simply see the change. That red, that predominantly green. The highest performer there is Northwest, 93% achievement. And you will note here, there is no one who has achieved less than 5 of those indicators. So, Chair, we believe this is a commendable picture. It's a picture that makes us proud to say we are members of the South African Police Service. And we have a mandate, which mandate is to police the people of this country. Sustainability of interventions. We need to ensure continuous follow-up visits conducted by national intervention teams. Dedicated capacity there, which is what we will build on. Provincial cluster station members, integral part of the interventions, because it cannot be that we only come from national with the intervention teams and we don't build the capacity. For sustainability, it is very critical that they are there. In-service training, mentoring and coaching is going to be very key. Identify challenges as related to appropriate level for swift resolution issues that are prominent, accommodation, filling of critical operational posts, training, resourcing of stations to support the operations, and the vision is definitely to focus on compliance and consequence management. When work is not being done, there will be action. The focus of the recovery plan is to reclaim and restore public confidence through tangible improvements in performance before the end of the 2015-16 financial year, without compromising the quality of service delivery. So that's the presentation on the recovery plan, and we are grateful to have had this opportunity to feedback on the work that we are doing. The next presentation will be on the festive season, but I'll pause here.
Thank you very much, General Patani. We welcome the presentation. We will now go to questions from the members. I'll be the first couple from my side, and then we'll go to Honorable Mulabasi. Maybe just to also get an indication from your team, the intervention team, because if you go to slide 23, in essence, it validates the committee's observations during this last 2 years about maybe the quality of leadership at cluster and station level in some instances. So the question from my side is, in the intervention team's actions, have they identified clusters and stations where we need changes in terms of the staff? Because from the portfolio committee's perspective, a station is really working well if you've got excellent command. That is in all institutions, whether it's in the government or private sector, it's about jockeying. Now, I assume in terms of the new approach, because previously the inspectorate will do a report, that report in a year's time will be reviewed for visit. Is there going to be consequence management? Are you going to bring in new people? Are you going to change people when there's non-performance? Because at the end of the day, and that's the experience of the portfolio committee as well, especially cluster commanders, they're responsible for 5 or 6 war stations, but those stations aren't closely monitored. So in your current experience, do you pick up maybe methodology to deal with that problem? The second issue is the issue of, say, sustainability. I think the Minister also mentioned it, and I agree with that. Are we going to see Greece again in the next few months in the shopping centres? Are we going to see them at the beaches? Are we going to see them in schools? Are we going to see patrols in the neighbourhoods? Or will we have to wait for December? That's concerns from our voters, and I just want to get that commitment there from the National Commissioner, because it's got the financial implications, the point. The intervention's got a financial problem. So do you've got, in terms of your shipping and in terms of your budget of visible releasing, the necessary backup to deal with that? Honourable Mulubazi.
Thank you very much, Chairman. The issue of pocket books is still a problem. Personally, I visited 3 police stations during the security bureau, 1 in Gauteng, 2 in Northwest. The issue of pocket books still needs to be followed up a lot. The other one is on the police barracks. Most of the police don't have where they stay. They're forced to rent, sometimes in the township, where these very criminals they are looking for are located. And somehow they are forced to be friendly, and sometimes very, very friendly, for their safety. And also tell us about the police holding staff. When we visit the police stations and go to the holding cells, it's chaos. Some cells you can see that an offender gets into that cell very easy, gets out of that cell very quick. Tell us about that also. My next one is on the taking of accounts for us. Do you have designated officers to do this, or is everybody that can do that? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I want to say in a positive and a negative way, in a certain sense, it sounds too good to be true. What I mean by that, Chairperson, is that if you look at the figures and everything, then I have a serious question: how is it possible that in, say, about 3 months' time, that we can already have this improvement? Does that really mean that the members of the police services didn't do their jobs? Because only when we started with this intervention management, now suddenly we have results on simple things as back to the basics. What happened? There must be a serious change. Let's look at the docket ages, and my question will be on that as well. It's an enormous improvement, for instance, in KwaZulu-Natal, 43%. But what did the people do before that? That in 3 months' time, with the intervention, which I'm welcome, of course, that there's such a drastic change. My question is then for, is there an attitude change in the members? I hope and I suppose they're becoming more proud of what they are doing. We are back to basics, but to serve the people of South Africa. But my question is, did we analyze why we have the situation that there is now suddenly such a drastic improvement? That is very important here. But I want to say that I like what I hear. It sounds very good. And I am sure that that will create confidence in the police again from the public, because that is what we'll have to achieve in the end of the day. My simple question on the technical point is just on your page 26, the docket age analysis. You're talking about age. What age are we talking about? How old are these dockets? And lastly, as Chairperson, and I can say that to the acting commissioner, if you keep on going like this, I will support you for becoming the final one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, acting.com, for your presentation and your hard work that you did with your team. My question is in slide 6. Why is Northern Cape is zero? There is zero in Northern Cape in slide 6. My second question is, Natcom, in slide 24, you mentioned number of arrests, including wanted suspect. But I don't see the conviction. The conviction, what about the conviction? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a handful of questions. If you'd indulge me, just two, three. Okay, that's fine. I'll just save the fourth one for the next round. So, my first question is just on a very sort of high level is to ask the acting commissioner what is considered to be the start dates of the better basics approach and the implementation of the recovery plans, because the first time that I heard the acting commissioner announce it and speak of it from the media was around mid-December. But some of the data trends that are mentioned, like in slides 27, 31, and 32, are tracking from the start of this financial year. So I'm just, the time frames and the attribution of the effectiveness of the recovery plans versus the data being used to back that up seems a bit confused to me. If you can just explain around the time frame that we're talking about and how the data lined up with that. My second question is also to ask, given that we are in the run-up to the next budget speech and the next financial year, and I would imagine that the SAPs have been engaged in budget planning and drafting their APPs in preparation for that since, I think it normally started around October, November of the previous year, is what are the budgetary and performance plan implications of the better basics strategy or approach? And is that being integrated in the budget planning and the APP drafting for the next financial year? Because I can say with great confidence from previous experience within government is that if any intention, any plan is not catered for explicitly in the budgets and is not rooted in the performance plan in terms of performance indicators, targets, time frames, so it can be tracked, monitored, and evaluated, it can just, dissolve in the course of day-to-day urgencies and all kinds of things that come up. So it has to be explicitly and concretely integrated in the systemic sort of planning and the management of the whole service. So I'd like to know if that is the case. Do we have that concretely integrated in that? And then my third question here is in terms of the intervention teams, which do sound like a good and reasonable intervention tool, what is the expected lifespan of the intervention teams, both the national and the provincial ones? I gather they have their own areas of responsibility. The expected lifespan of the intervention teams, are they to be a permanent feature of sort of managing the whole system? Because if that were to be the case, I'm not saying it's good or bad either way, if they become permanent for the foreseeable future, if they actually have a positive impact and lead to improvements. But if they are to be a permanent feature, at least for the foreseeable future. Would that not imply that the command and control and consequence management in the daily running of the sets is in fact weak, because you would like to think that it's those inherent features of command and control consequence management that would lead you to see the kind of performance that the intervention teams are trying to work with on a short-term basis? That's it.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. No, in the first place, thank you very much, King Commissioner, for such a very professional report. It's quite encouraging, I must be very honest. Particularly, you know, some observations that you have touched on, particularly in the United States, such a most of our people there have been highly worried, and I think our Chairperson will also understand. When it comes to Mira's police station, and in it, serious allegations to members of the community. I am glad that the Commissioner, you have even kept up or prepared those stations as one of those stations that are seen to be underperforming. And I concur with you 100%, even with the members who are doing this kind of survey. So thanks very much for such a very professional report, and I think it gives a lot of hope our people in terms of restoring the confidence to our men and women in blue. One question will be, noting that Acting Commissioner, members of police are not necessarily alone in ensuring conviction. What mechanism have you put in place to avoid frustration, particularly of your detectives by other components of our criminal justice, for example, the NGPP? I know the police will, for example, give NGPP cases for comment whether to prosecute or not. And you find that there is a decline. So, but when you are convinced that you have got demographic evidence that this matter definitely needs to stand trial, but on the other hand, of course, this kind of decline from the side of NGPP. I'm raising that deliberately, Chairperson, so that we will, as a committee, be able to see what will be our role from now moving forward, noting that there is that kind of determination from the side of police to do their work effectively. But then we need them to be able to scale down those levels of resistance from other components, if there are. Number two, I think I'll concur with you, Chairperson, on the question of other performing stations. That what will be then the action plan? Because it's good that the stations have been identified. But then what will then be the action plan so that we can then see some kind of turnaround in those stations? Then lastly, South Africa at the moment, which I think some way, though I know it's not necessarily the duty of this committee, it seems now to be a country which is just free for all, particularly attracting a number of dangerous syndicates in our country. Some of those people coming to the country without tangible documentation of proof of evidence of their countries of origin. Now, when you are doing this DNA testing, how are you going to be able to relate such, particularly to such people? I don't want to make such an example because you know the creatures of this world and all these guys. People who just come. South Africa today is just a free-for-all country, which I disagree personally. But how are you going to deal with those when you find that these people don't necessarily appear on our national data, but there is an ongoing kind of involvement in serious crimes in our country? Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and let me also add my voice to the welcoming the presentation by the Acting National Commission. I think that it is really refreshing. It is refreshing to sit and listen and to look back and be able to see what was the situation and what is the situation improving to be. after the interventions has been implemented, the intervention management has been implemented and turnaround strategy. And it's refreshing to listen to go back to basics. And of course the issue of consequence management. Particularly when it comes to the issues of dealing with this part, particularly when you deal with the detective, where the crime has already been committed and perpetrators must be arrested. I think it's quite refreshing, I must say that. Consequence management, I think you will find quite the support from this committee. That particularly when you deal with the issues like this, that on one hand, community members are crying, on one hand, the men and women in blue are nowhere to be found. So consequence management is something that is always going to be supported by the committee. Chair, I wanted to ask this, I've got many questions, but I'll ask three. But first, just the intro to this questions, Acting National Commissioner. Is this issue about the availability of resources as far as human resources concerned? And you are speaking to the availability of detectives when they are required to be. So, you know, in some time you find that, and I think that the city that's now the acting, that was acting commissioner in province, leaving without receiving that call from me, he was lucky that he didn't. You find on the issue of crime availability of detectives, the odd hours, you find that when crime is committed and you want to detective to be on the scene on that, there is a detective not available to be on the scene. So the resource availability and the hours of working so far as detective is concerned, taking into account the pattern of crime in various areas. For an example, Nyanga is a station. We all know crime increase over 3 days and what type of crime happens. So surely management planning should be able to plan the resources to be able to say at these times and these hours when crime is committed in those areas, the resource must be available and what type of resources will be available. So you still find that you know, so I'm asking that, are you looking into this particular aspect of the issue of availability of human resource when crime is committed, because you know the analysis is already done in various stations. So my question is on the station forecast, and I agree with the chair when the chair was talking about consequence management and the people that are not available, cluster approach. I mean, we can speak at length about that, but that's not the day for today. I mean, when we visit Free State, for an example, when we have to ask the commander, cluster of the commander of the detective in the police station that will remain nameless at this stage, that was not able to actually give you a case that I asked on the spot, not availability of information on a planned visit. A visit that is planned, pre-planned, everybody knows that we are going to those stations and these are the areas that we are going to look into. So the capacity, your findings around the capacity at various stations that you have identified here at the 63, insofar as the detective human resource, what have you found and what is the capacity to deal with that particular issues on the spot? And then the third one is the very same thing about the crime scene management that you mentioned, Acting. Crime scene management and availability of resource for that aspect, and mobility of that resource for that matter. And the third one is this issue about the core business of the police. You would remember that we had the issue at length at the previous engagement with the police management about this issue, about the core business, a core business of the police being that what they must do, including the visibility of the police. Now, the sustainability question, I know that has been asked, but I think the question I'm asking really is really looking at this process going to help to revamp or to really look at that particular aspect of visibility of the police as a core business. So that is, there's a sustainability over a period, is not only a periodic intervention. So as a feminist of it. But I must compliment you about the 122,000 from the backlog that you're talking about. Between the time in which you reported 600,003 to 480, that at least work has been done around that particular aspect. So there is a light through the tunnel. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, just two questions for clarification. The first one would be the underperforming stations. Besides maybe a comparison of the rate of crime and the rate of arrests and convictions, if we were to unpack, what actually are we looking at if we say this person is it's not performing? And even the question of the capturing of data, which was always a problem. Are we sure we are on par at this point? Because if that area is not addressed, then we will have a problem. We'll still have a problem with the stats. But I only wanted to understand if we say this station is performing or is underperforming, what actually are we looking at? Because that will explain to me, or is if we say we have got an improvement, it will explain to me or what are we actually looking at. The second question would be on POPCO. The acting national commissioner said they've got a good relationship. I don't see that from what I read in the papers. I mean, if there's a good relationship, why do they go to court before they talk to management? And I think that would be. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation, although most of it I did go through the slides. I remember the brief that Honourable Mbele was talking about in December. I remember it mainly because I was sitting at home waiting for it to happen, and the acting police commissioner was about 40 minutes late, I think. Fortunately, I was at home. I didn't have to. To worry too much. I can honestly see a change in the tone, the quality, the substance of leadership and its relationship with the public. It is something that, for me as a member of this committee, but also a citizen, that has made me look to the police with a little more pride than I have in recent years. So I have to thank the Acting National Police Commissioner for that, and also the senior management of the SAT. There is a visible improvement in how the police relates to the public, especially from senior management, and that's encouraging for me. And also these interventions, the one sad thing for me is that no station in my constituency is on the list, but we can talk about that at some point. And talking about the change in tone and just looking at the fact that the acting national commissioner has engaged with 5,661 commanders directly to personally communicate the essence of active basics. I mean, that to me is such a break from the heart, and it's so welcome that it's actually that direct engagement. And that is commendable, like I said. My question, though, relates to crimes against women and crimes against children. I've seen a significant improvement in the detection rate, especially in terms of crimes against children, from 41% to 64% in the third quarter. And crime against women has gone from 52 to 60%, which is a notable increase, although not significant. The problem, especially with crime against women, is that it's often a failure to report or refusal to report the crime and not a detection issue. But what concerns me still is the trial ready rate and the conviction rate. And I know the conviction rate is something that once the docket leaves the police for prosecution, it's in the hands of the court and the APA. But there is a role for the police to play in that the trial, that docket is put together in such a way that it's likely to get a conviction rate, or the conviction rate is possible. Well, we've spoken last year about crime case, but I just want to know what specific interventions the police management are looking into for crime against women and crimes against children, and especially because it is a reporting issue to the police more than a detection issue. And finally, I hope to echo what Honorable Groenewald said, I hope that our colleagues in the MC who have the presence here would speak highly of the acting National Police Commissioner when it comes to a permanent appointment. Thank you.
Thank you for the panel of the interview panel. The members with the questions, over to John Paclani and his team. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks, honourable members, for the issues raised with us. And we are humbled by the response on the work of the police. We believe that many a times we see policing as a thankless job. People put hard work, and the only thing we hear are negative comments. So it is truly humbling for us to hear messages from the portfolio committee members, which will encourage the police people to do their work. Not that they are always to be told you are doing good. When they are not doing well, we need to say you are not doing well so that we can improve. Because, as I said, we do not do the people of this country any favor. They are entitled to solutions that we are in them. I will take some of this. Those that I have omitted, my colleagues are here with me. They will deal with the specific issues. Identified cluster stations where change is required. It's a question raised by the Honourable Chair. Chair, part of this process, as we have said, one area that we precisely do focus on is what are the resource challenges at a particular station, both from a capacity perspective, but also those that are there, are they just a number, or are they doing this which they are supposed to be doing? So where we find that we have made wrong decisions in terms of deployment, and there is a mismatch between what is expected of individual and what is happening at a particular station, redeployments will realize. But that will not, the redeployment will not be the only focus. You also need to look at development. That is why we said part of the plan, mentorship and coaching. And that is why we take experienced people who knows the business, who understand the game, to be part of the management intervention. And that is why they are not doing hit and run. They are to go there, as we have said, on average 5 days that they are to be at the particular station. When they do that work, they don't sit on their own as people for management intervention. They draw in the commanders and take them through the process. What is it that you are supposed to be doing? We hope that that is going to go a long way in ensuring that we sustain that what we are putting in place at station level to turn around performance and resource delivery. Sustainability change in terms of stability is a must. Policing is not an event. It can be that it's only during certain times. We are saying that on a day like this, people are at work. People have left homes. There needs to be visibility in those areas. So as we are advancing the back to basics, we say visibility is key. We need to be there in the communities. Patrols. We go to an extent of saying, when we talk about patrols, let's forget dealing of only talking about vehicles. Foot patrols, what happened. Bicycle patrols. Patrol on horseback. Those are the basics of policing. Where it's coming from? Actually, you did not have more vehicles. You had more people without vehicles. That's why they must be there in the community. So it is a position that we're taking that that's the way to go, visible policing. So that's what we will have experience over the first decision is to be continued. Of course, honorable members will recall that part of that first decision campaign, we have taken the decision to deploy trainees. So they were able to, maximize our potential. And they did a good job, those trainees being visible. And as and when they are at a point where they can be deployed, they will do so. The new group is coming in the 1st of March, so towards the end of their training. When we are confident that they were developed to the level where we can do deployment, we will do exactly that. And it's also that collaboration with the metros in the various cities and so on. And I think we are doing well in the work that we are doing together there. The issue of schools, we can't leave that area alone. Time awareness campaigns, our Adopt a Cop programs and so on, must be intensified going forward. We have to start somewhere. We can't do everything at once. We have to say, what is it that is key to us in advancing the basic, back to basics approach? And we show some elements of what we have already implemented working. And so progressively, we will go into the other areas and deal with them. Honorable Mulevati, the target groups here, they are an issue. That is why they are a focus area during the management interventions, but also in addressing the 5,600 managers. These are the things that we're talking to. The mere conducting of a parade. It's not just for compliance to say, I had a parade. It's, are these people that are now reporting on duty operationally combat ready? Are they dressed in terms of the dress code of this organization? Are they having the equipment that they are supposed to be carrying? Your bulletproof jackets and so on. Are they, for example, carrying searchable firearms? Those are the things that we are looking at as part of our back to basics. Briefing of the members in terms of what is it that they're receiving from the previous shift, what is it that it is expected of them to do. Those who know the business of policing, following parade, which is where you have reported on duty, when you go into the vehicle, a patrol vehicle, you are again to report on duty to control, so that we can know vehicle so-and-so is now driven by this member, his crew or her crew is so-and-so, and they are in that particular area. So that you know at all times what's your deployment, and you can be able to monitor their response and so on. Yesterday's launch of the communication system in the Eastern Cape, it's one of those that are going to enhance our capability in this area, because you literally can see where are your vehicles at all times. And if there is a crime committed here, you can immediately activate them to respond to that particular, so that we minimize or manage the response time to complaints. Police barracks, we have said that some of the things that we are looking at will be infrastructure, but also accepting Honorable Chair that if these are not matters that can be solved overnight. But they will receive the necessary attention and escalation to the levels where they are supposed to be dealt with, because there are dependencies in this regard. You still have your public works and so on that has come in, but we know it is an issue because our members are sometimes placed in a compromised situation. I mean, where, for example, they go and rent a shack somewhere in the squatter camp. Now, once you are dead, can this member carry a firearm? because the issue of safe becomes an issue, and they become targets. So we will continue to deal with the issues and hope that we will find some resolve to those issues. The police officers are also one of those. I think the generals, General Nguyen, the management intervention team will back me up that they do not lose sight of those issues in terms of what the infrastructure of the police station is looking like. The taking of alcohol samples, Honorable Chair, we have trained the detectives. Remember, the Act provides for a medical practitioner to train the designated person. The first focus was on the detectives and the first responders to crime. That process is underway. I just do not have the figures now as to how many of them have been trained, but the increase that we were showing of the take of alcohol swabs, it is by members who are designated to do so. So there is compliance with the Act in that regard. The questions, Honorable Chair, by Honorable Groenewald, how is it possible to have an improvement? We have committed ourselves to ensure that there is an improvement. If you recall, when we appeared before the Honorable Members, that if there is one area where there will be a turnaround, it is in the detective services environment, because we saw that our performance was too pathetic. So that had to enjoy priority attention. And when we present the recovery plans, Honorable Members will recall that I said I'm going to lead that process myself. And I am happy with the progress that we are making. And just maybe some timelines, I think Honorable Mbele asked a question which speaks more to that. We developed, for example, the recovery plan, the second of November. If you recall, I was appointed acting the 14th of October. So 2nd of November, I already appointed 18, having noted how bad our performance was in the detective services. General Ngomo was leading that team to develop that recovery plan. Between the 12th and the 14th of November, we had a strategic session where I brought all the provincial commissioners, the divisional commissioners, and the deputy national commissioners. That developed plan was presented for adoption. And then it was signed off and subsequently implemented. So once we had finished our strategic session, we said we are not going to be waiting. This plan must be implemented, the recovery plan, and Honorable Members will recall we came to present the details of that particular plan. And I had already had a first performance review session because I said on a monthly basis we are going to be monitoring what we are doing in this regard. The first session to monitor whether we are making progress was the 9th of December. We went into session to take stock of are we implementing, and in those areas where there is no implementation, interventions had to be realized. We also did the second review in January, just to look at the progress that we are making. So we are well on track in as far as the implementation is underway. And if the Honourable Members recall, that plan is not containing short-term activities. It's long-term activities that are to be performed on a day-to-day basis to ensure that performance is realized, to ensure that cases are investigated accordingly. Yeah, so it may look like a quick turnaround, but it has to happen because those who have been violated are looking for answers yesterday from the police, and we have to attend to these things. Honorable Chair, I can't answer whether they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing, but we have taken stock. And I think when we presented the recovery plan, we identify the challenges. Among others, this person that we are always looking for, command and control. He said, there is lack of command and control. There's a problem if, for example, decisions on the dockets are taken by support staff and not the officers, the commanders. So these are the basic things that we are saying to people. You look at this. We have spoken to the issues of data integrity. If a decision was taken by court, guilty or not guilty, why is that decision not captured on the system? So it is more to say, let's go and have a look. These dockets, for example, when I say in KwaZulu-Natal, 51 people were arrested one evening. Those DNA reports, the forensic reports, will not have been produced on that day. They will be sitting in a docket somewhere. So someone was supposed to, just in their day-to-day management, to say, but you already have a forensic report which is confirming to you who the culprit is. So go and find that particular person. And that's exactly what the management intervention teams were doing. That's the turnaround. So it is not fictitious things that were to be done. These are basic things that are expected of everyone. That's why we made an addition that that picture in the detectives cannot be a picture that is taking us forward. We just needed to make people account in this regard. The journals that are here, many of them are leading those teams to stations. It's a team comprised, headed by a major general, with the lieutenant general there that are overall in command, making sure that we are all over and we correct the situation. Also, the attitude, we must agree, has been an issue. I think a lot has been written about the morale of the police people. Now, people have been saying, but that which is happening is foreign to us. Now, we are saying to them, can we just go back to what all of us were trained in? Let's just focus on those basic things, 24-hour docket inspection. And when you do docket inspection, you just don't look at this docket. You must do what is required of you as a commander. So, Honorable Chair, these are the things that I think helped us to turn this picture around. There will be here areas where you simply just had to take those decisions, capture them on the system, because no one was doing the capturing in that regard. Don't get each analysis, how old, Honorable Chair, you recall when we made the presentation. I may be wrong, but I think it was our very last presentation to the portfolio committee. When we presented, we looked at dockets older than 10 years. And then we also looked at dockets older than 5 years. We also looked at dockets older than a year. And we wanted to, the question is, why must we still be having dockets older than 10 years? Why must it take us that long? When we made a presentation, Honorable Chair, you recall that there were cases, for example, shoplifting. Why must you 10 years down the line still be having a shoplifting case outstanding? Cases which relate to the contravention of the Road Traffic Act. Why must you still be having them open that long? But more seriously, murders, rapes. Are we saying that we are not competent? No, we had to go into those issues. That is why when we present in the next presentation, you'll see the number of arrests in various categories, whether it is rape, murders, and so on. So it was an analysis that we have done looking at age intervals. 10 years and more, 5 years and more, a year older, and to say, what are we doing with those cases? One case that was shocking to us when we did this analysis was a case which dates back 1978. I was in at school. Now, that case, it's a theft general. Now, why must you be having that case this long outstanding? So, part of this process was to go into those cases and ask the question and say, what is it that you did not do? If it was not done, it's going to be done now. Yesterday, I received a call when we were in TV from a member of the public who said to me, thank you. because this thing is working. For a change, someone is calling me of long outstanding cases, wanting to know or just informing me that I am attending this. And that's basically what we said. We, as the police, once a case has been reported to us, it needs to be investigated, and there needs to be continuous feedback and engagement with the complainant. It is critical, and I think it is working for us in this regard. The Northern Cape, I think, Honorable Mura, there's...
Sorry, Jay, on that question, on that slide, which it was 526, I think, when we refer to those improvements or not, is it an overall or is it a specific age of the dockets that we have to improve? For instance, the baseline of, we say, to November, 64,600. And now it's 57,000. On what age, or is it between, is it the 10, the 5, or everything is all together? It's not a specific age of the document.
Yeah. Honorable Chair, it is overall. Remember, when we present the analysis, as I say, we look at the interval. So this is overall. We can, at some point, as part of our management information, do a breakdown and say, of those that were 10 years older, what progress have we made? There was a question by Honorable Muller on slide number 6, I think, why the Northern Cape was zero. The Northern Cape was zero, Honorable Chair, because you did not find any of these stations that falls under the top 40 or the top 30. But that doesn't mean that there are no interventions there. We are still dealing with, this was just to say, in that top category, which ones are the contributing factor. Honorable members will recall, it's an 80-20 principle. You do 20% to achieve maximum results. So it was more the more problematic ones that we attended to. And then on slide 26, Honorable Muller asked about the convictions. Let me just go there. Was it 26? 24. This, on 24 is only arrest, but if you go to this line 35, it shows the convictions. Remember, those people, those were arrested, so the cases are going through the court process, and it is made too early days to be talking convictions on those specific ones. But if we look at the conviction rate and so on, it is now measured here. We are now making it visible here in terms of the different crime types. Honorable Mbele asked a question about the start date. I thought that I have, in responding to the issue raised by Honorable Groenewald, I have dealt with it in terms of when did we develop the plan and then started saying this plan must be implemented. I just looked to those timelines. If you are happy, I can move on from this one. Okay.
There was a sub-question linked to that, which was then just the conclusion about the use of the data trends from quarter one of this year, if those recovery plans had only been adopted from November.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. This is simply to show you what the status was as far as performance is in quarter one, what the status is in quarter two. So this will not imply that with the intervention plans, we were able to impact on the work done in quarter one, quarter two. This is just to say, comparatively speaking, if you were to say, is performance improving? Focus on quarter three, which is what we are making visible here. What difference did the interventions bring about compared to quarter one and quarter two? I hope I'm clear. So it is in no way trying to say we have had an impact in quarter two and in quarter one, because quarter one and two national management intervention was not there. It was only introduced in quarter three, and there are the results in as far as quarter three is concerned. And I'm glad if the question is being asked, timelines, We implemented the plan from November. End of December, we already realized this improvement. And this, among others, goes with, I, for example, instructed that we don't take leave as far as the cases over the period, so that everyone can go and focus on their cases. So we did not borrow additional capacity elsewhere. The capacity that was there, we just wanted to focus. As we speak, they are hard at work. Just yesterday, I was caught by one of our brigadiers who's busy with interventions. I think it's Bellville Station. They are hard at work, and we hope that the picture is going to look different at the end of the financial year. Budgetary implications, Honorable Chair. Honorable members will recall when we presented the structure. The structure made visible the creation of an environment headed by a deputy national commissioner who will take responsibility for the regions and the provinces being divided into three regions. So it is capacity which is going to be there going forward with the implementation of the new structure. So it is capacity that is to be sustained. We have capacity that structure by moving the existing resources into that particular space. And we believe that it is doable. We believe that it is what we require to make the impact in the organization. So, unfortunately, government is not giving more. We must manage within what we have. So, it's a question of reprioritization and redirecting the resources that we have. The beauty of it is that we are not creating a new program. If we are saying management intervention focused on detectives, we already have program three. So that team will then source funding from an existing program three because we are dealing with investigation related issues. If it is an issue related to visible policing, we already have funding that is allocated to program two. So we are not going to be going for additional funding because we know that the government has got priorities which needs additional resources, and we will manage within the current funding. Part of what will be savings will be movement from the structure which was there, which was maybe creating environments that we believe were not going to realize what we want to see being achieved, efficiency and effectiveness. So that movement is going to help us going forward. So this also answers the question on the lifespan of the intervention teams. They are not temporary. They are part and parcel of the new structure that was presented before the honorable members, which was consulted and now approved. So it is more incapacitating that so that management intervention becomes the way of life in the South African Police Service. Conviction rate, I know what Honorable Mhongo had raised. I agree, there are dependencies here. We will, at our level, continuously engage with the NDPP, and at a different level, input will be appreciated to make sure that we cover some grounds here. Consequent management, Honorable Chair, I have already spoken to it in the presentation. It is going to become a reality. But when you are looking at a child who did not behave, you don't immediately start with corporal punishment, which in any way is outdoors. You know, the progressive discipline. Some way there will be development and so on. So that will be taken care of within the confines of our discipline regime in the department. Availability of human resources, Honorable Ramakrishnan raised the issue, particularly detectives on our issue of crime scene management. It will enjoy the necessary attention. Part of what we are saying in the basics is that all of us that are supposed to play a part when a crime has been committed, must be activated to that particular crime scene. Let's not pretend that we know it all. This one individual can do everything. We have communicated the crime scene management policy, which outlines clearly who is to play what role, and we will want that being complied with. And that is why I said earlier that the crime scene is the most important place where you start with the investigation of crime. Compromising it, we have compromised the case, and we will want to respect that. We may, going forward, look at when do you deploy the detectives? Is it simply a 7-to-4 responsibility, or must we rearrange ourselves? I can safely say, Honorable Chair, that it is any days for us to get there, but it's certainly not out of the equation. Core business of the police sustainability, I think, Honorable Chair, I spoken to this area. Now you have the ladies that are in that environment, and it's history to see the detectives being managed by a woman going forward, and visible policing. And we do that with the understanding that our core business hinges on two functions: investigation of crime, prevention of crime. Of course, there is a third leg, crime intelligence, because it is very critical to support both reactive and proactive policing. Underperforming stations, what are we looking at? I think the details thereof are contained in the recovery plan which we have communicated, because there we made visible what are those challenges, what is it that has to be done on a day-to-day basis to make sure that we deal with that. That's why we did not pause there with the recovery plan on detectives. We went into the visible policing and said, policing overall, what is it that we must do in advancing our better basics approach? Honorable Martin raised the issue about Pop Crew, whether they are going to good relations or not. First, the laws of this country provide that the labor will be there in the workplace, and we have to respect each other's role. That labor is there to make sure that the interests of the employees are being represented. So the issue, the relationship cannot solely be attributed to a restructuring issue where we may be having different views on it. We collaborate on a number of areas. In actual fact, this coming Monday, I have the engagement with Pop Crew. If you recall, they had marched to the National Head Office on the issue related to police killings. We made a commitment then that we must be engaging on these issues. I respect the role that Pop Crew and any union plays, and the fact that we may not be on the same page in as far as the restructuring is concerned cannot be mistaken to us not talking. I would not want to be personal on these issues. It is more in the interest of the South African Police Service and the people of this country that we continuously engage on, including our social partners, one of which will be popular. And I can't help it if they have opted to go to court. I respect their constitutional rights which they have exercised, but the court has pronounced on this, and there is no reason for us to be arrogant and not want to talk on it with the understanding that there is an outcome of court. We will continue to engage and find the common ground. The Honorable Gertnees raised issues, some of them were comments. You must maybe be pleased, Honorable Gertnees, that the station is not necessarily featuring there. That the station is not featuring there because it simply says that it is not one of the top 40 problematic stations. So And the fact that it is not featuring doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to receive attention. We just highlighted the top 40 of those stations. Crimes against women and children, the slide which is before us will show the progress that we are making. If we talk, for example, whether it's collision rate, detection rate, and so on in this area, we certainly will not be pleased if we are achieving in that area. This is one of those crimes that have been prioritized and will continue working hard, even in terms of the deployment of the resources. Honorable Chair, those are the issues I had to respond to. If there is one that I've forgotten, my colleagues are here, they can take the issue.
Thank you very much, Acting National Commissioner. I think at this stage we're going to just take a 12-minute break, and then we're going to come back for other responses and, of course, the second round. The reason why I'm not saying tea break is because due to the budget restrictions of Parliament, they only provide us 16 cups of tea and coffee. So we can't provide you, so it's a break. Those who are lucky to have some, good luck. So we'll meet again in 12 minutes. Thank you.
I'm Thank you. Thank you. That is Kashmir.
Right, thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you. We're going to resume our meeting. I think when we broke for the break, the National Commissioner was busy giving responses. I don't know if there's any of his colleagues that also wants to maybe add anything. And then I saw Honorable Abachi and Honorable Tom, and then we go to the second round. But this for the National Commission, is there anything else they want to add?
Honorable Chair, I'm not sure, maybe in brief, General Nguyen or General Kuza, maybe they want to say a word or two.
General Nguyen, you're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Very good morning. Thanks, Acting National Commissioner. Honorable members, a very good morning. It is an honor indeed for us to be presenting today. Honorable Chair, a lot had gone wrong, and we have now found the compass. All that you are seeing is the result of the good leadership that we get from the Acting National Commissioner. We are a united front. We have re-looked at ourselves. We have agreed that we are reclaiming the bridge. We are reclaiming the face as the members of the South African Police Service. And we are not doing any other thing other than what has been mandated to us by the Constitution. Has the good results that you are seeing. On the implementation of the recovery plan, the Acting National Commissioner has said it all. However, it will be an omission if one, as the National Coordinator, may not share some of the experiences. Subsequent to the meetings which were led by the Acting National Commissioner himself, and he introduced the plan, the National Intervention Team went back, at this stage, went back to four provinces, the biggest provinces, with the biggest number of police stations that are contributing much in terms of the highest reported incidents of crime. We spoke at this stage to a number of about 3,000. We are talking to implementation of the recovery plan that talks to the back to basics. Because we had agreed at the strategic plan session as management to say, this is the only way through which we can be able to reclaim the streets of South Africa and give it back to the lawful inhabitants of the country. We are making members commanders. We are making them to account on the implementation of the recovery plan. As rightly indicated by the Acting National Commissioner in the presentation, that there is a nodal point within the governance structure of the intervention. At that nodal point, we came up with a template. The template compels every station commander, every team leader of the intervention to ensure that they are systems which will enable them to give feedback to the nodal point. At this stage, the national team consisting of myself and the three lieutenant generals and the five teams. These five teams are consisting of a number of 30 members, each team, led by major generals. And we have got expertise from visible policing, detective services, and inspectorate. These teams, the educational commission indicates that they will spend at the most 5 days at the police station. We are saying to them, by the time we leave the police station, it has to be a model police station that will ensure that communities in that area are serviced. Amongst other things that we are collecting, it was indicated that one of the questions was that, have you identified situations where station commanders or cluster commanders may not be doing what is expected of them? What we have discovered, what we have found, is that you find a situation where a member will have been placed as a cluster commander or station commander, but then the skills are not talking to it. At times, where a member, where a commander will have been migrated from the post where he or she has been appointed to do something else, we immediately ensure that by the before we leave, we'll have spoken to the provincial commissioner to have the commander going back to ensure that he gives leadership. Most of our challenges have been that there has not been leadership. And as we talk during the intervention session, we do not only admonish, but we talk to our members to say, what is your understanding of leadership? As a commander, as a branch commander, you need to know how many dockets are your members having. You need to sit with your members, go through the inspections of the dockets, but also give direction to say from here, this is where you should be going. A lot of those cases have been, of the cases which have not been finalized, were a lack of leadership, which we are correcting, but some of the cases also were because we have not been updating the system which talks to ensuring that there is integrity on our information, but also data capturing. And we are seeing a lot of wins or gains in that area. Again, going back to the 63 police stations, we indicated is the 40 crime weight and underperforming in terms of detectives, but also the 30 which are only crime weight, those that are reporting a lot of incidents of crime. When you calculate, you realize that we were supposed to take 70, but however, some of the politicians are repeating themselves. Hence, we are having 61. The two were additionally identified through complaints that we received of being unresponsive, where people were suffering not getting service delivery, then we added them to 63. But on top of that, for every province we made visible the top 30. It's the top 30 negatively in the sense that they are the top 30 non-performing police stations. So every province has got its own top 30. As they deploy the intervention teams, they know which stations they should be focusing on, but further, even the other police stations, which may not be in the top 30, those commanders, they know for a fact that they it is expected of them to ensure that they implement the recovery plan to ensure that we all move with the back to basics and ensure that every area of policing is covered. Honorable Chair, we are grateful of the leadership that we are getting from the Acting National Commissioner, and we believe we are reclaiming ourselves as members of the South African Police, and we are now able to work properly in Abu. Thank you.
General Cruiser?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. General, just safe to say, in my experience, I think the critical thing is around control and accountability. I think if you put those things in place at the right levels, you start getting the results. Because if you don't have that, we tend to be sitting in meetings for long times. The provincial community just manages deputies, that's all, must manage. It's not a big thing. They must manage the clusters, and the classes manifestation, and we get the results. Where we need to intervene, we call Manager Dimension, either provincial or national level to intervene. But we have to make the system work. And we can see when we implement and really put pressure to ensure that it works. It's very uncomfortable at some level, but it does come to an end. So I think that's the principle we must apply. There must be accountability and there must be control at the relevant level. So, thank you.
Colleagues, we will go to the second round. I saw Honourable Mulabachi, I saw Honourable Mufiongo, and then I'll take from the side again, yeah, that don't lose the sequence. Honourable Mulabachi, Honourable Mufiongo, and then Honourable Kundabal, and the other colleagues, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. You know how these things are very exciting. You feel like the interviewer, you know, get very, very excited. Chairperson, I forgot to bring this up in the first round, but I must say it now. So in the festive season, I met a high-ranking officer in my area who was very, very demoralized in the past, who wanted to leave the service. But he was talking now with such excitement to say he's now staying in this service. That shows that really the International Commissioner and his team are really doing wonderful work. And you ask yourself, how many of such people do we have who wanted to leave and now are cutting the light at the end of the tunnel? You are really doing wonderful work for us, and you are really going to be complimented on that. But now my question is, during the weekend on National Division, we made mention when we were talking about your best basic strategy, you touched on equipping and training police. And my question is, what does this entail? Does it mean a change of curriculum or what? My next question is on, tell us about this grooming camps that are part of the recruitment framework. What is the progress so far? Thank you.
Lawrence, it is not a new question. And I think there was an omission on it. On the question of, as much as one appreciates the person that we are part also of the Interpol and all that, as our members are connected to that branch. But my question was, with the influx of foreign nationals in our country, now you get some who are even illegal here in the country, now how do you then, with this DNA identification system, how are you then going to be able to utilize that? And the key question, Chairperson, that I'm referring to is for us maybe when we're meeting with the joint security cluster level, so that we can then be able to mobilize other arms of state to respond positively to the challenges that, even only if our police, because I understand that some of these things really are serious. I go on, I'm a member of this parliament. I hate receiving messages, you have 1 million rand. When you go to find this kind of foreigner, then you want, where did this person get your own details? And then the people really, some of them really, I must say, I don't want to, but I hate. As a law-abiding citizen, I hate it. I must be very freaking honest. Because it's a breach of your own privacy as a national, as a country's national. And there are these things. What is then? What then are the challenges of our members? And what strategies will be put in place so that we don't also, noting that Jefferson some years back, I think that our national security raised a very critical point of some cheap ourselves of these rebellious religious groups of some structural like Al-Qaeda and other things. We don't want to react. It wakes up in our country by that we are already under siege of these forces one day. So that we can then really be able to say the security of our country, first one, from first line of defense, second line and all that, in a very interwoven system. Thank you very much.
I think maybe that question is also relating to priority grounds. We've got tomorrow the interaction with DPCI, so maybe we can, the more detailed responses deal with that. You're going to be decided by the International Commission who wants to deal with it as well. Honourable Grunewald.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very glad to hear the EFF of law-abiding citizens. My experience is different, but okay. I want to. Well, it's the beginning of the year, sir, so we can say that. It's an election year, so you must be here. What I want to ask follow-up is actually the following, and that's why I've asked the question: what really changed? And actually, you touched on the subject of consequence management. Now, for me, it looks as if we had a huge number of commanders, station commanders, who just really didn't do their job. And now, suddenly, there's from senior management, you have control and proper management, and now, suddenly, they do their job as normal, basic policing work. But I suppose we will... at one stage I have a discussion on this whole consequence management. But I just want to say that because it was in that perspective that I've asked my question, why suddenly the change? My follow-up question, Chairperson, to the Commissioner is, yes, it's good. Back to basics, that is what it's supposed to be. But at the moment the perception, and it's not only a perception, it's also the truth that we have a lot of criminals within the police services. I think at one stage there was 1,144 people identified. And my question to the Commissioner is, what, I beg your pardon? Oh, sorry, the Acting Commissioner, yeah. In use to the other word. What is he going to do as far as those criminals are going to be going in the police services?
Okay, I think you must ask now what you want to ask. The last one, because after this session we will go to the sponsors and then the next briefing on the case that is in case.
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, I only have a few more questions. Actually, it's a comment and then two questions. My comment is just to respond to the issue that the Acting Commissioner had raised around incidents of what she calls media interference in crime scenes. And of course the point must be made that there can never be a reason for impeding the media from doing their work in service of the public interest to write stories, find the information, do their own investigations to keep us all well informed, as well as a public accountability mechanism. But this issue that the Acting Commissioner has flagged actually speaks directly to one of the issues within the best of basics approach, especially within the detective services, and which Honourable Ramachakane also touched on, which is that if you have sufficient detective capacity and they are quick and responsive in responding to crime reports, one of the bullet points in slide 21, then it would be almost impossible for there to be a situation where the media arrive at a crime scene before the police. So that point actually reinforces the need to effectively implement the getting back to basics and getting the basics right, because if the staff arrives quickly and they set up the quarantine timeously, then at least that sets bounds out of which the media would then not be able to trample on evidence if that happens. So in fact, Commissioner, that reinforces the point that if you get the base right and have that quick and responsive detective dispatch, then the media could never get in before the staff do, and it would have the negative consequence. So just to flag that, we should use that as a reason to continue with the improvements, not to try and impede the media in any way, because they also must do their work. My question, first of two questions, is it links to the budget issue that I raised earlier, and the Acting Commissioner did already talk about how there will be adjustments within the current budget constraints, which I understand, And of course, we must have rationalization of the resources, because we saw in particular with our Free States oversight visited by the committee, where there was a lot of oversupply, especially with personnel resources in many stations, which tells us that somebody wasn't tracking and monitoring the deployment in relation to the real-time on-the-ground needs. When other areas are suffering, but some stations have got more staff than the fixed establishments. But in implementing that rationalization which is needed, how can the acting commissioner and his team guarantee that this redeployment doesn't unintentionally become a case of, I'm calling it, robbing Caesar to pay funding, where there could be an incentive set up to not do it in a comprehensive and rational way, but you kind of skip from there to put it there, because we're now trying to fix the top 40 station, but in so doing, we mistakenly or otherwise compromise another station through that redeployment. So just some details and an assurance of how the redeployment and the rationalization of the resources happens in a comprehensive way that improves the overall system and doesn't just shift things around with negative consequences. And then my second question and third point for this round is an old bugbear that the Acting Commissioner will have heard me say in previous meetings, and I'll continue to raise, especially because the interventions and the back to basics approach is very heavily anchored in improving the detective services. Where is the space? What is the role? And how has there been taken into account the importance of specialized units within that basics? In particular, looking at slide 20, one of the key elements highlighted is combating serious and local organized crime threats. So, you know, we're going to do the crime threat analysis, but then in the operational response, surely I have to believe, especially around drug trafficking, gang violence, illegal firearms, we've got to have specialized units, not just task teams, because I know that's been the favorite approach so far, not just task teams, but specialized units that can bolster and strengthen that intelligence-led policing approach. Thanks, Chair.
Is that a new answer? No, it's a new round. Okay, the last. No, so quickly, for me, I think, I don't know whether I will be able to deal with it now, but maybe just to flag it. The last time when we had some of this discussion when we were interrogating the failure of the detective, particularly this program, I think there was an issue that even before that, session two, session before that, there was a more of a complaint that the project that was driven, or what they call it, 7-point plan in terms of the criminal justice cluster transformation, that it wasn't quite working. Now, I just wonder, maybe, Chair, that because when I look at what has been presented, seems to be really dealing with the three part of the three areas that the police are engaged with, which is the crime reported, the issue about the crime scene, and the issue of arrest. Maybe at some point in the next program, that we should really just get that kind of discussion going. How this, because in the slide 21, we talked about the partnership policing issues. So, and that one is not necessarily explained in detail, that bullet, in terms of area of intervention. Perhaps we could follow up on that particular discussion. Are we now strengthening that particular area? Is the police now playing its role in terms of that 7-point plan or transformation of criminal justice transportation, particularly the three areas? And is the partnership with the others in terms of the other four legs going to be able to do what is supposed to be, including this intelligence led? So I think that that's my major one, which I don't think we're not going to have time now to deal with it, in fact.
Then the last chair, which is on this round now, is just a follow-up. I do know that acting National Commissioner mentioned his court case, and that was early in the intervention. But he then said with three others. Now, it was quite a strange characterization. The Pokro was mentioned in full, but the three others was not quite clear. I thought maybe it had Judy Care, but then he said they lost the case. But this, the name of the three others, I wasn't sure whether the three others are the people of the police or are friends of the court. What is these three others that is quite not, remain nameless? It would be useful just we can, if the people employed by the state are the people in the police or are the members of Hope Group who have retired from... Well, let me leave it there because I see that I am making a point that it's interesting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one point. From what we can see from back to basics, everything seems to be moving smoothly and very fast. It's very impressive. And the sector that we usually mentioned as having some problems with the detective services. And I would like to believe that there's a program or a project of re-employing those detectives that had retired or resigned. I'm saying this because I met one or two of them who resigned, not retired. And they did that because they had complaints. But I seem to have known them to have been very good detectives. So I would like to know, how is the project or program of getting them back going on? Is it succeeding? Is it publicized? Because those that I talked to didn't seem to know that they can still go back if they qualify. How do those people qualify to come back? Because I think with that experience, they can at least bolster what is happening in there. Thank you, Sir President.
Thank you. All members' comments. Just a couple of from my side, finally. Maybe just in terms of this intervention, the role of inspector, which is part of parcel. But if we say that the intervention is permanent, how do we see the inspector's role going forward? I just want to get a view on that. And then the issue of the detectives, I think the Acting National Commissioner raised the issue of public confidence in the police, and I think that's where the basic back to basics program is very, very good. In terms of detections, detectives, of course, the detection rate is critical. I think in the previous interactions last year, we raised the issue because high-profile cases at the end of the day comes the poster job. You can be successful in 80 or 90% of your cases. But for instance, if the Senzo case or the Zalsa case is out there and not properly, let's say, communicated and dealt with, it becomes at the end something negative around the police. I think we raised that issue with the previous management. So maybe just from the National Commissioner in dealing with high-profile cases, ensuring that it's effectively dealt with, communicated, and is there going to be a different approach? Maybe it's too early, maybe a new head of detectives can give us at a later stage, but I think it's important, because one or two bad incidents can reflect very negatively on the police, and we need to change that, that there's also confidence from the people towards the police. Right, and on board for the budget, the last, and then we'll go to the Acting National Commission.
Okay, I just missed this one. What is the progress regarding your front lines service delivery program of Brigadier Rabide? Thanks.
Thank you, members. That's been all the questions on presentation one, and we will then ask the Acting National Commissioner and his team to respond.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Maybe the one on Honourable Liberty raised on the equipping and training police people. yes, we'll intensify our efforts in ensuring that our members are trained and equipped to do their work. We actually are grateful that Lieutenant General Mukwanazi, who is one of the most highly trained police officers you can get in the organization, has agreed to lead the human resource development environment. We believe that with his skills and competencies, we will go a long way in ensuring that people are trained operationally to be able to do their work. In terms of change of curriculum, we are not necessarily going to tamper too much with the content, but we are going to deal with the duration of the training and the approach. For example, you currently have the basic training program, which suggests that the trainees will be in the college for a 12-month period, just theory. And then they have got a recess, and they go into the field training. They are there for 10 months, and after 10 months, they go back to the college for 2 months. Now, from our engagement with training institutions and so on, and in having observed what is happening, that is not necessarily giving us the quality that we need. The trainers are saying, these people, when they leave after 12 months, they are sharp. Fitness, everything in terms of even shooting practices, because they continuously do that. But when they are on a field training, the emphasis is taken away from training in them becoming, additional resource to be able to do the work. So it negates, you know, what you wanted to achieve. So when they come back in that last 2 months, the trainers in the institution are saying they have lost the discipline, they have lost their sharpness in terms of fitness and so on. We literally are trying to get them where they were in 2 months when they left the college for field training. Now, the approach that we are adopting is to say we want a much more integrated college phase where they do training, academic or theoretical, and then it is balanced with practice so that you could immediately find a way of deploying them for training purposes under the supervision of a trainer. And then when they finish their training, it is probation. We are going towards that direction. So it is not necessarily going to change on the content. Of course, we are going to beef up the content here and there in terms of what are the challenges on the ground. But it is more of an approach, which approach should guarantee us a better qualified person when they leave the college to be able to do it. Maybe in terms of the grooming camps, that's an area which is a little bit of concern to us. So say too much money is being spent on grooming camps. At the end of the grooming camp, only half of those, if you are lucky, are now proceeding with the training. What about the investment? What about the money that was spent there? Secondly, instead of the grooming camp focusing on preparing them, our observation is that it is more of finalizing the recruitment, as in still having to complete this and that, so they never get to that. That is why in the approach that we are looking at, we may scale down big time on less grooming hands to save money, so that we could use that money much more effectively. I think the issue that Honorable Ndongo has raised, Honorable Chair, on foreign nationals, we can't have a country within a country. Those that find themselves in South Africa must be in South Africa legally so. And we will serve them like we serve South Africans. But the emergence of groupings, this group calling them because they come from the particular country, wanting us to treat them differently, cannot be something that we are about to adopt. So, for us, it's either the inhabitants in South Africa are law-abiding, those that are not law-abiding will be dealt accordingly in terms of the laws of this country. When it comes to DNA, of course, a person would have maybe committed a Title 8 offense. Now, it's immaterial whether he or she is a foreign national. The law says being arrested for a Schedule 8 offense, you will then, a verbal sample will be taken from this person. So it doesn't change. It will allow us to do the matching. That applies also to fingerprints and so on. That is why there are some people whom would have maybe committed crime who are attempting to leave the country. And at the port of entry, we are able to say you can't go through because you are wanted on this and that crime. And that is because of the DNA and so on. Of course, we will continue to collaborate with structures like Interpol and so on, and work in the spirit of the regulatory framework which is there in how we are dealing with people that are from other countries in case they would have left the country and so on. The priority crimes, it's an area that we are looking at. That is why, and I think it will go also to the question that the Honorable Mbele raised earlier. What is the role of specialized units? Where is the stage for such? Together with the Minister of Police and the management, we continue to prioritize certain types of crimes based on the incidents thereof. And I think in the back to basics approach, one of the things we said is that we will want cases to be assigned looking at the complexity of the case, looking at the competencies of the members. So you simply can't be taking a novice in the environment and give him or her a much more serious case. So you'll have that progression from first dealing with less serious cases to where you are developed to be able to deal with those. But we have said, and I think we mentioned it even over the weekend, that we are going to prioritize specific crimes. We have said, for example, the issue around pharmacex is a worry. It needs priority attention. We are going to follow that through. Because you look at the pharmacex, farmers are being killed, farm workers are being killed. To us, it's an area that needs to be dealt with focused energy and resources. The issue around drugs is a problem. We will focus around the drugs. There are issues around violence, taxi conflict, murders in that particular space are a worry. We need to. So it's an approach that is saying to us what capacity we need to deal with specific issues. Safe to say that an announcement is to be made in that regard, so I can't go into the details thereof, but I want the honorable members to understand that those are policing challenges, and we can't keep, we can't be naive and take our focus away from them while it is the type of issues that makes our communities uncomfortable, that makes our communities to believe that the police are not doing much around those. So there will be a dedicated focus and attention on those issues. Honorable Groenewald spoke to the issue on consequence management, and I understand the angle where the honorable member is coming from in terms of the safe to say. We, as I said earlier, we are not only going to go punitive. Somewhere I think it was, did those people get the necessary direction and guidance and leadership in terms of dealing with those challenges on the ground? And I continue to argue after my 30 years of experience in the police that the one very difficult job is that of a station commander. Because everyone who is communicating an instruction, they all go to that one person. Now you have given him or her all this instruction, you still call him or her to places that takes away the opportunity for them to be able to address just those things. That is why in our approach we are saying provincial management, cluster commanders must respect the role of the station commander. Give the station commander space to be able to manage. But at the same time, we are saying to station commanders, take note. Any detective at that station is your responsibility. It can't be the responsibility of the detective commander alone. You can't have a situation where the station commander is not even having insight into the number of dockets that are allocated to a specific individual. You can't have a situation where a station commander is making no entry in that particular docket, having relegated that responsibility to a branch commander. And when questions are coming, the station commander is saying, ask the branch commander. We have experienced it now in our interaction. When we are asking, why are these dockets long outstanding? A cluster commander or a branch commander is saying, or the station commander say, I'm sorry, General, I will go and attend to it. The question is, why did you not attend to it? It's only now that they are becoming aware thereof. So once we have resolved to do within the back-to-basic approach is to hold people accountable. If it is not happening at your station, we will want you to answer on it. Whether it's the provincial commissioner or the cluster commander or the station commissioner, accountability is a must. So we hope that as we move on with implementation, we will be able to arrest some of these chronic illnesses to the challenges of policing, particularly at station level. Honorable Groenewald raised an issue, Chair, on what to do with those with criminal records. May I request to be given space to go into that particular issue? Because sometimes, you know, it is presented in a manner that it is not speaking to reality. And we want to just do some thorough work in that regard. And at an opportune moment, Chair, we will come back and say, in terms of the 1448, what is it that is being done? Because the honorable members may be saying there is 1,448 people with criminal records. Some of those people have long went through processes that are in our laws of, for example, expungement of criminal records. Over a period, there is what is called expungement. Some of them are still found in that 1448. That's why I'm requesting that let me not deal with the details there of an opportune moment. Maybe even when we come back with the plan, we can talk to that issue. But there is still some work that needs to be done in that regard. Honorable Mbele, I respect the role of the media. The media has got a role to play in keeping our people informed. But I will also urge the media to respect the role of the police. Crime scene is something that we cannot afford to have them compromised. Just because people want to take pictures, they are going all over that particular crime scene. The next moment you open the newspapers, it's a body of someone who is dead there. What is it saying about what we know, respect those that have departed? What about the families who suddenly see the body of this person splashed all over? Somewhere we need to, I think, subscribe to the notion of moral regeneration. What happened to our values? What happened to our principles of faith, respect the dead? And allow our states to do thorough investigation so that we can contribute towards bringing closure to that particular family. There are cases where you continue to be asked, what about this case, what about... What they are not saying is how much they have compromised that particular country. We now recently had a recovery of this, the boy of this girl, Palesha. You know, when that body was found, I was reading in the media everywhere. Now that the remains are being found, the police are going to take ages to process this thing. 8 days down the line, we had a forensic report which confirms that this is the person. But why must I answer the media on that issue before I go back to the family? What happened to respecting the dead? So we are never going to intrude into the space in terms of the rights and the role of the media. But we are just saying, can we respect the police to be able to do their work on that particular crime scene? Crime scene starts when a call is made to say the following happened. From there on until it has been processed, it remains a crime scene. I think Honorable Matagane raised an issue about how long it should take and who is to play a role there. I think that has been said with the understanding knowing that it is not that uniform police person who first responds to that crime scene that is to do everything. Once they arrive, they have to cordon off, they do the preliminary investigation, have to cordon off, activate the detective who is not necessarily there at the moment, who must come, takes over the crime scene as a crime scene manager. And that crime scene manager then activates all other experts. These experts are not located at each and every police station. So you still have to activate them to come back. At that point, that crime scene must be cordoned off and not be tampered with. So we do not say the media must not do their work, but can they please just allow us space to deal with that which happened, unfortunately. Someone is killed. Someone has been raped. I mean, I listened, for example, to the case which was so much reported about during the January 8th statement, the alleged, sexual assault of someone who comes from the Western Cape. Everyone was asking questions. They even asked the investigation officer to disclose. It cannot be. It is still at the investigation level. Now, suddenly they jumped into conclusion. The Premier of the Northwest said the police must not give this. The Premier is not responsible for policing. The police are responsible for the investigation. So let's allow the space until they are at a point where they say, we are now able to present a case to court. That is on... So, we need to effectively implement back to basics. I think that cannot be overemphasized. We will continue our drive, and within that drive of back to basics, respect the role of others, whether it is the media, the community that must become active participants, and also giving feedback to the complainants who are our clients, and when the need arises to the general public, it should be the case. How do you ensure that stations, you do not compromise stations with the redeployment? That is not going to happen. We can't drop pizza to people. In actual fact, what we are saying is, do not confuse us. If someone was appointed in this position, do not remove this person and go and utilize him in another post. If that post is vacant, say to us that here is a post that is vacant so that we can go into a process of having it filled. Rather than appointing someone, tomorrow that person is in a different post, and here where he or she was appointed, service delivery is being satisfied. So we will want to manage along those lines without impacting negatively on service delivery. And the deployment or the appointment of people will be within the the parameters of the establishment. I think I've dealt with the issue on the specialized unit and so on. I may move on. Maybe Honorable Ramadakani raised the issue about the 7-point plan and maybe making reference to this line. I just want to say that this line talks more to the physical condition, that focus, which we did not unpack in detail during this presentation, and it will certainly be taken on board in terms of who the other role players are in that stage. Resigned retired officers, we will embark upon re-enlistment processes. We have communicated how many people we have already re-employed or re-enlisted. I think it's something like 584. Now, in that process, there was something which was going to create a problem for us. Because when the re-enlistment posts were advertised, a decision was taken to say, let's say a person resigns. And by the way, you can only re-enlist those who resigned. In other words, those who did not reach a retirement age, you can only re-enlist those. You can't re-enlist if a person went off medically, in other words, medical boarding. You can't re-enlist if a person took a severance package. So those who maybe opt to go for greener pastures while they still can give a 10-year service if you were to re-enlist. So the position was those who were, let's say the person resigns as a colonel, which is a much higher, you already, middle management. So what was communicated was only those people who have been re-enlisted can only re-enlisted up to the rank of lieutenant. So it would have meant a colonel, someone who lives today as a colonel, when he or she comes back as a lieutenant. And we know the practical implications of that. The person is going to want to come back and take up their position. But not long, you are going to have problems because he's going to tell you, no, but this one, when I was here, I employed him or her, he was my junior, and so on. So you then start having command and control issues. I have taken the decision that we are not going to implement that. If a person left as a warrant official, we will bring that person, if he or she meets all the requirements, as a warrant official. Now, what we are to do, and we will do it from March onwards, we will advertise to say, those who resigned maybe up to a level of colonel. So, if a person is evaluated and found to have met all the requirements, he or she will be returned as a colonel. Because you look at what that person is able to offer at that particular level. So simply put, there will be room created to still take back those that have got the skills, the competencies, the experience that can take us forward in terms of police. In this process, we will also deal with two, which I think emerged out of the reference group. You'll recall the reference group appointed by the minister spoke about how Lieutenant General Levia and Lieutenant General Mofume exited the organization. We are reviewing it. So once we have fully engaged, we'll be in a position to say how are we dealing with it going forward. The issue of inspectorate within the management intervention context. Honorable Chair, the inspectorate is absorbed in the national interventions environment. So we will be reconfiguring our approach in that regard. And already General Jasta, the divisional commissioner in that space, together with his people, are very key in the way that was done as far as national management intervention is concerned. Frontline service delivery project. I actually did not find space yet to go and interrogate that particular project. For now, I want to say it's legalized until further notice. We will have an opportunity to say what is it that it wanted to achieve, how aligned is it to our approach of making sure that we become a service that the people of this council are proud of. That's it, Chair. Thank you very much.
I don't know, there's a question on the detectives. I don't know if the new incumbent want to respond to the high-profile cases or should we be at a later stage deal with that?
Yeah, maybe. He is already assigned to deal with some of those cases, and I'm pleading that let's not give details on that, but the high-profile cases will enjoy the necessary attention without them being escalated to a different level. Thank you.
I want to just say it was actually a remark, by the way, from the Commissioner. But from my side, I seriously want to say that I want to congratulate him and thank him, specifically on his approach when it comes to farm murders. We know the issue, and I saw, I think earlier in the week or last week, the Commissioner also mentioned that the police will give priority to farm murders, specifically. And I want to thank him for that. I will engage further, and we already engaged with the Minister as far as the statistics on farm murders is concerned. And I think what is important is the person. There's a perception that people think when you talk about farm murders, it's white people. The statistics we have, for instance, for the Free State last year, of 22 murders that took place on farms, 15 people were black, and only 7 were white people. And I really want to thank and congratulate the Acting Commissioner for this approach, because that is what the people, especially in the rural areas and the farming community, wants to hear when it comes to their safety. I want to thank you. Well, we started here on a very, very good note, Chairperson. Thank you.
Presentation 2, the festive season, Operation Festive Season, over to the Acting National Commissioner.
Honourable Chair, I take the punishment for being an acting national commissioner to do the presentation again. If we go to the first slide, it will basically be what feedback we are presenting, and that is it will focus on the Operation Festive Season 2015-16 financial year and crime in brief. It is known that the government, through the JGPS cluster, reaffirmed its commitment to achieve the outputs of the delivery agreement, which deals with outcome 3. All people in South Africa are and feel safe. By going beyond the call on duty, in protecting the society, by implementing extraordinary safety and security measures to eliminate the opportunities for crime during the festive season. Some background to this. We know that during the festive season we experienced increased volumes along major transportation routes and through the ports of entry, increased activities at entertainment and shopping venues, seasonal and major events, resulted in the increase in opportunities to commit serious crime, targeting vulnerable areas, combated through an integrated multidisciplinary approach coordinated through the National Joint Operational and Intelligence Center and committed provincial structures, the PROC Joint. So that's more or less what you'll find in the background to this. The duration of the testing season campaign, 1st October 2015 to 31st of January 2016. The theme here all people in South Africa are and feel safe, and the approach, implementation of extraordinary safety and security measures to eliminate the opportunity during the festive season, operational focus, the combating of all serious and violent crimes, especially against women, children, and vulnerable groups. Now, there are some phases. I'm not going to go through those details. Safe to say, we had the pre-holiday season, which is 1st October to the 31st of November, the start of the holiday season, 1st December to the 15th of December, holiday season, and end of that period. And we are now in that post-holiday season with what the focus is during those periods. In terms of the approach, pillar one, we focus on the aggravated robberies. Pillar two, enforcement of Firearms Control Act, Liquor Act, Secondhand Goods Act, and the Safety at Sport and Recreational Event Act. Pillar three, crimes against women and children and persons with disability. Pillar four, wanted persons. And the pillar five is road safety enforcement. In pillar six, border security. Honourable Chair, over the festive season, a daily average of 20,940 police members were deployed nationally. Police and funeral students were deployed nationally from the 17th to the 23rd of December 2015 at identified malls and shopping centres. Out of nine provinces, only four had students deployed, and the remaining provinces do not have trained institutions. So the deployment of trainees was more Western Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape, because those are the institutions where we are training entry-level students. In terms of activity, a total of 4.7 million operation-specific activities were performed in this financial year. The primary focus was on patrols executed in identified high-crime areas. The leading province with regard to activities in the 15-16 financial year is KwaZulu-Natal with 1.8 million activities, followed by Gauteng with 1.1 and the Western Cape with 635,662 activities. Searches conducted, a total of 5,964,572 searches conducted in the period under review. These searches included persons, vehicles and premises. The leading search category was person search, with Gauteng leading with 994,089, followed by KwaZulu-Natal with 632,179, and the Free State with 601,200. In general, Gauteng was the leading province with 1,464,564 searches, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and the Free State. Arrests. This is now in respect of Pillar 1, aggravated robbery. What are the crime categories included there? House robbery. You'll note in total 1,286 arrests were effected. Attempted house robbery, 32. Robbery with firearm, 961. Attempted robbery, aggravating. Car hijacking, truck hijacking. Business robberies, 1,362. Robbery with weapon other than firearm, 1,968 arrests. In the total number of arrests in this pillar, 6,754. If you look at the color coding, the red will show where the highest arrests were effected, and the second highest will be the brownish one, and the amber is the third highest. Arrests related to Pillar 2, crime categories there, drug-related crimes. You'll note the total of 62,095 people were arrested. And then drinking in public, 12,059. Drunk in public case, 29,077. Which confirms the problem around drugs, and that's the focus in that particular area. Total number of arrests effected, 112,989. the highest number of arrests were effected in the Western Cape, followed by Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. Pillar 3 arrests, crimes against women and children, arrests effected 4,774, followed by sexual assault 645, kidnapping 521 arrests. The highest number of arrests were effected in Gauteng, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. This shows the arrest in Pillar 4. You see it, a pie chart, and shows the highest number of arrests in terms of the wanted persons, the Western Cape with 1,206, followed by KwaZulu-Natal, 913 people arrested, and Gauteng 739. It is here, Honorable Chair, that I suggest that General Cruz did exceptionally very well in leading teams here to make sure that we cover some ground. I was yesterday with some provincial commissioners who said they would want him to come to the province and just share, to their provinces, just share on the methodology and approach that was adopted, because this is commendable work done. Pillar 5 arrests, road safety enforcement. There you find driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol, culpable homicide. You will see the first one, 8,576 arrests in Gauteng. What is it, 53 culpable homicide. And Gauteng there, in terms of total arrest, 8,629, which makes the total arrest 19,588. This is Pillar 6, border control, the number of arrests, the undocumented persons, total 1,965, and this is not where you would use either your DNA, your fingerprints, and maybe vehicles and so on. Each, in terms of persons, 270, and vehicles, 327, and the total number of arrests, 2,918. Chair, these are the fines. We are not just effecting arrest, there is money collection for certain contraventions, and the total there, fines 421,438. These are confiscations of vehicles, firearms, ammunition and explosives. Vehicles, total 1,193 vehicles confiscated. Various categories of firearms, the highest being the handguns, 1,960, followed by rifles, 238, and shotgun 98, and there are 6 auto, semi-auto, automatic firearms, and homemade 7. Ammunition 73,682, and the explosives commercial 46, and hand grenade 4 of them. These are confiscations, drug, ketamine, heroin, and Mandrax. The figures are there, also indicating which provinces were the highest confiscations in the various categories. You'll note in terms of Dhaka, that was the Eastern Cape, Cape, Mpumalanga, Tik, Western Cape, heroin, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, again on Mandrax. This is livestock confiscations, the highest. Sheep or goat and goat, 1,716, followed by cattle, 727, and other livestock, 116. Crowd management, we still had fecal and unrest related crowd management still to manage in this period. You will know that, honorable members, the crime, what is it, fish must all. Protest went deep since our last operations. Now, the green will represent those that were peaceful, and the rest which were unrest related. Total crowd management incidents, 1,664. And this is where, Chair, I continue to argue that we can't be accused of being brutal. We can't cover up where, for example, our actions went beyond the framework of the law, where such manifest itself, due processes must take place. But this generalization of police are brutal is not fitting well with us. It is actually discouraging to those members that continue to comply with our instructions of ensuring that we apply maximum restraint in situations like this. What is not said is how much our members come under attack during situations like this. But we are proud with the record that is showing that there is improvement in that area. And we are hopeful that what the minister had announced, you know, the establishment of the expert forums and so on, are going a long way in improving what we are doing in the management of crowds and public violence. These are some of the major events over that period. First one, the FOCAC, which took place between the 4th and the 5th of December, the National Reconciliation Day celebrations, 16 December, the January 8th statement on the 9th of January, all these events incident-free, and the police have done what they're supposed to be doing to make sure that all people in South Africa are and feel safe. This is a crime overview, a comparative analysis, a comparison of the broad crime categories, which provides insight into levels of severe crime, including crimes that have a significant impact on feelings of safety and security. A preliminary comparative analysis of serious crime reported in December 2015 indicates a reduction in reported crime in 5 of the 9 provinces compared to the same period in 2014-15 financial year. 3 of the 4 provinces where an increase in crime was recorded an increase ranging from 0.28 to 1.47%. Highest recorded increase of crime in Limpopo with 8.6%. A similar preliminary comparative analysis of serious crime reported in the period April 2015 to December 2015 for 9 months will show a decrease in reported serious crime in 7 of the 9 provinces, increase of 0.27 recorded in the Northern Cape, and highest increase recorded in Limpopo, 4.6%. Decrease in property-related crime recorded in 8 of the 9 provinces, December 2015. The increase was recorded in KwaZulu-Natal and intensified police disability during the first season would have contributed a great deal towards this reduction. Longer term, April to December 2015, if you were to look at that period, comparative analysis of reported property-related crime will show a decrease in 6 of the 9 provinces, an increase in Northern Cape, Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal provinces. I think this is the slide that I was showing earlier as part of the Back to Basics recovery plan. I'm not going to repeat all of them because they are before us. And that in short, Chair, what we were able to achieve over the festive season. And maybe in closing, I will express my appreciation to members of the South African Police Service who sacrificed their own family time to focus on the work that we were to do over the festive season and making these plans a reality. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the presentation, Acting National Commissioner. I think precisely spot on. And also from the portfolio committee, we want to thank all members of the SAPS and the management who worked very, very hard during the festive season. While other citizens were relaxing and out there, they were working very, very hard, so we appreciate that. Members, any comments or questions? Nothing.
Right. Thank you very much, then, for the presentation. We appreciate that. Members, first thing, we come to the end of this interaction with the South African Police Service. I want to thank the police management for the very two professional presentations that we received today. It's important that the Back to Basics approach continues. We will monitor it. I think what we'll have to organize, maybe with the leader of the effort, Lieutenant General Greenlaw, that maybe we have a kind of walkthrough of association where there was a turnaround. Maybe we'll look at the date, maybe even visit that station, you know, the five-day process, what was the issues that was dealt with and what's the outcome, maybe just to get an understanding of the fine mechanics, but I think the approach is the way to go. Maybe just also from the Portfolio Committee side, express our condolences with those members who have been killed. Since 1st of January, we have had a very serious incident at the funeral in Mpumalanga province, where the member of the detectives was killed, and we also had that shooting incident in KZN. The Portfolio Committee, again, will focus on the issue of the killing of police members and steps to improve the management of that, and on the 17th of February, we will have a one-day workshop, and of course the police management is also invited to that event. I think from the Portfolio Committee's perspective is the importance of technology. Now, we've raised that with the previous management. There was certain commitments, but we think we must move much more faster with that in terms of what technology solutions can be put on the table to assist with that. I know the usage of body cams and video and so on is contentious issues, but we need to come up with out-of-the-box solutions. Of course, we need also communities on board. If we look at the presentation of the police and a lot of the crimes are social issues. It's not really being the task of the South African Police Service. They must police it, but it's up to the communities and society to address the social ills, because a lot of the crimes is social ills. So the moral regeneration campaign that the acting national commissioner referred to is the way to go from that perspective. So we want to thank again, the Acting National Commission's team for the presentations, and we will continue interacting in the next few weeks with regard to the matters. Of course, we will also need a copy of the new organogram as soon as the new appointments have been made, and also biographies of the new executive members that we can also come to know them. So thank you very much, Honourable Members, and also to the Acting National Commissioner for your time. We will then reconvene members tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We get the briefing from the DPCR. Thank you much.
Just to indicate my earlier apologies that